Good morning. This is Pastor Bill bringing you another News in Focus. This one is found on the Christian Post today, January 31st, and it's called Catholic Protestant Churches Sign Historic Baptism Agreement. Catholic and Protestant Churches Sign Historic Baptism Agreement. Leaders representing Roman Catholic Church and some American Protestant denominations have signed an agreement in Texas to recognize each other's baptisms. All right, let's say it again. Leaders representing the Roman Catholic Church and some American Protestant denominations have signed an agreement in Texas to recognize each other's baptisms. After about 6 years of dialogue, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Reformed Church in America, Presbyterian Church USA, the Christian Reformed Church in North America, and the United Church of Christ signed a document recognizing each other's liturgical rites of baptism. The five denominations signed the Common Agreement on Mutual Recognition of Baptism, affirming the baptism agreement on Tuesday evening at a prayer service held at St. Mary's Cathedral in Austin. Together we affirm that by the sacrament of baptism, a person is truly incorporated into the body of Christ, the Church. Baptism establishes the bond of unity existing among all who are a part of Christ's body and is therefore the sacramental basis for our effort to move towards visible unity, reads the document. We rejoice at the common faith we share and affirm in this document. We understand that the journey toward full visible unity depends on the openness to the grace of God and humility before the initiatives of God's Spirit among us. Sister Mary Ann Walsh, Director of Media Relations for the USCCB, United Church of, I don't have any idea what this is, told the Christian Post about the lengthy background that the baptism agreement was part of. The common agreement ratified by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, that's who it is, on November 16, 2010, it was ratified by them on the, this common agreement was ratified by them on November 16, 2010. And publicly signed and celebrated January 29, 2013, was the result of 6 years of study and consultation by Catholic and Reformed scholars during the seventh round of the Catholic Reformed Dialogue in the USA, said Walsh. The dialogue has been co-sponsored since 1965 by the Bishop's Committee for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs, along with the Christian Reformed Church in North America, the Presbyterian Church, the USA, the Reformed Church in America, and the United Church of Christ. The Austin celebration and preceding dialogue were coordinated through the Christian Churches Together in the USA, an organization formed in 2001 that focuses on interdenominational Christian unity, witness, and fellowship. The Reverend John Crossan, Executive Director for the Secretariat for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, commented to Christian Post that he hoped the baptism agreement would be a model for other similar agreements. One of the reasons to have this public celebration hosted by CCT was that all member churches became aware of the baptism agreement. Many more people are now aware of this. A copy of the agreement was handed out to more than 35 member churches. The implication is that maybe some of them will say, maybe we'll do this too. Clergy involved in the agreement ceremony held in Austin told local media about their feelings regarding the baptism recognition. Ruben Armendariz, a Presbyterian Church USA Associate Presbyter, told the Austin American Statesman that it's a historic moment and we're very much in concert with it. The ecumenical effort, this mutual recognition of baptism, is a part of our response to Jesus' prayer that we may be all one, said Bishop Joe Vasquez of the Catholic Diocese of Austin to the Statesman. There are a number of things that are bothersome to me about this, listener. There are a number of things. For one thing, the fact that he says it's historic, I agree. It's historic. In other words, we expect this to be the first, well, actually, one of many in a chain of ecumenical movements. The second thing I'd like to recognize, or at least mention, or at least acknowledge, are the fact that the reason these churches find such a solace in reuniting is because there is very little that distinguishes them to begin with. Imagine, if you would, a church, two of them taking on the name Reformed. Imagine them going back and getting back into bed, so to speak, with the Catholic Church. You talk about spitting on the sacrifices of their forefathers. Third thing I'd like to point out is the doctrinal heresy upon which this agreement is based. Let me read the document, let me read the paragraph to you again that states, "Together we affirm that by the sacrament of baptism, a person is truly incorporated into the body of Christ, the church. Baptism establishes the bond of unity existing among all who are part of Christ's body, and is therefore the sacrament basis for our efforts to move towards visible unity." Well, the problem is that they're taking a passage of Scripture that deals with the washing of regeneration, and they're making it mean water baptism. Let me read to you the Scripture that they use. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11 through 13. "All these works that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been made all to drink into one Spirit." Let me read the first phrase of that again. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." In the context, there's no way to see anything other than the Holy Spirit behind the word Spirit. Are we to assume that the person who baptizes that person in the waters of their fonts at their separate churches is the Holy Spirit? Or is this a different washing or baptism that takes place by the Holy Spirit himself at the moment of conversion? I'd like to give two answers. Number one, Scripture teaches in Titus 3:5 that the same Apostle Paul wrote it. It teaches that there is a washing of rebirth that takes place at salvation. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Are we to assume that this baptism of the Spirit is really water baptism? Are we really willing to say that it's not by faith at all? It's by water baptism? How unfortunate to say that salvation is now divorced from the work of Jesus on the cross, or at least maybe a little bit less heretical, but heretical nonetheless, is in concert with the work of Jesus on the cross? How sad. To say that we believe the entrance into the body of Christ is water baptism is most unfortunate. The body of Christ is made up of all those who have been born again. Are we to say that you're born again, as Paul stated in Titus 3:5, by being water baptized? Really. Tell me, have you ever met someone who was water baptized who acted like a devil? That is not a new birth. This entire agreement between these five denominations is based on faulty salvation doctrine. Let me also say that I see a problem here, and I want to just draw out completely from this article and point out we Baptist folks don't belong anywhere in this discussion. We don't baptize babies. We don't baptize non-believers. We don't baptize people who have shown no fruit meet for repentance. We baptized believers who have brought forth fruits meet for repentance and are willing to identify with the body of Christ of which they already belong through water baptism. I am not a Catholic, but I want to say as emphatically that I am not a Protestant. I don't baptize through sprinkling. I don't say that you are now born again because you are baptized, nor do I baptize babies. It's most troublesome to think that there are Baptists who call themselves Protestants. Maybe you need to take a gander at the very stout work written by the Anabaptists in 1664 in the country of Holland. In the Dutch language, the martyr's mirror was recorded. And it records those all through church history, not since 1518, folks. Not since 1519, not since 1520, not since 1507, 1508. No, since the New Testament, those who suffered for this true thing known as believers' baptism. Now, that's a sharp sword for two reasons. Number one, it means that you have to be a saved person before you can get baptized. And so they were hunted down and they were hurt because they insinuated, no, rather they outright boldly preached that baptism alone did not save you. But saying believer's baptism also not only rules out salvation through baptism, but it also rules out baptism before salvation. Now, it seems like those are mutually inclusive, but the fact is you have to say both because they'll both be overlooked. We're not only saying that you get baptized after salvation, we're saying that you get baptized after salvation. We're not only stressing that a person must be saved before they're dunked, we're stressing that they must be dunked after they're saved. And so if you'll just read that book, Martyr's Mirror, find it on Digits if you can, you'll find out that it is the Free Church's version of the Fox's Book of Martyrs, which was the Protestants' indictment upon the Roman Catholic Church because they did not believe in salvation by grace through faith alone. And now these Reformed churches, God help us, have completely forsaken by faith alone, salvation by faith alone in the blood of Christ. They don't even make good reformers. But since they want to call themselves Protestants, I want to just go ahead and say I have never been a Protestant and never will be. This is Pastor Bill. Thanks for listening.